So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye has been interviewing cabinet secretaries for incoming governor, new governor, Democrat Tony Evers. We want to welcome Insurance Commissioner Mark Affable. Mr. Affable, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a short version of your background, sir. Sure. Congratulations on your new position.
Well, thank you. First, I'm very excited to be appointed as the Commissioner of Insurance. And for the first question, thanks for not asking me how to pronounce my name. That's the number one.
Did I get it right?
You did get it Affable. Right.
So, okay.
Right.
Okay. We're off on a good note.
Right. That's right. So just a little bit about myself, just spent about my entire career in the insurance industry, worked in a lot of different areas, but the last 25, almost 25, was at American Family. Mm-hmm. Held several different positions there. The last five, I've been the chief legal officer, so I have been advising the board and senior leadership on compliance matters, on corporate governance, and various transactions that American Family has been going through. Also, before that, I was chief compliance officer at American Family. So I worked with the departments of insurance in that capacity. Also worked with the Wisconsin insurance industry. I served on the Wisconsin Insurance Security Fund as well as the Wisconsin Insurance Plan. So have a lot of background with the insurance industry. And I also was the executive vice president of claims and sales and service. So worked with customers in their greatest time of need, usually when they're having a claim. Had a great experience learning about customer satisfaction and the importance of it all.
You had a long, successful career in the private sector. Why did you opt to become, what was the challenge in becoming state insurance commissioner, sir?
Well, I had a great career at American Family, and I really do feel that it helped prepare me for this position. But at this point in my career, I thought it would be good to do something different. I was looking to serve in some different capacity, and I thought this would be a great place to be.
Well, give us an overview of Wisconsin's insurance industry, because we used to be among one of the top states. Are we still in terms of volume?
We are. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
I agree, they don't.
Yes, that Wisconsin is the fifth largest insurance industry in the nation.
We're number five, okay.
We're number five, and for a state our size, I think that's incredible. About 1,900 companies do business in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Over 300 call Wisconsin home. So about $16 billion in written premium in Wisconsin. And it's important to the state in so many ways. So over 63,000 employees
63,000 full-time
in Wisconsin. That's correct. Right.
Well, how has that changed over? You've been watching this industry in Wisconsin for a long time. Any major shifts that people would be interested in?
I think there have been some major shifts, particularly over the last 10 years. One is the leveraging of technology. I think you'll see a lot of insurers now using a lot of loss mitigation technology. So you see it in autonomous cars. You see it with homes. So houses that have the Ring doorbell, houses that have Nest for water detection. You'll see it with drones. So when there's damage to a roof, the drones are up in the air and are able to see what kind of damage is taking place. In the life and health space, it's these wearable devices. So you're seeing a lot more leverage of technology, which kind of segues into another trend that we're seeing, the use of big data. So data analytics, important to a lot of different industries, very important to the insurance industry as well.
You mentioned something that absolutely fascinates me, driverless vehicles. Is are Wisconsin insurers, no, is the industry nationally willing to accept and underwrite driverless passenger vehicles, sir?
Well, I think what you're going to see is, I think that's something that everyone's looking at right now as to whether or not you can underwrite it, but it almost looks like it's going to move into a different direction, that might be more of a products liability. So we're moving right now from liability for you and me in our personal auto space to maybe something different. And that's I think there's going to be an evolution there.
You mentioned personal automobile insurance. Where do we rank? Are we relatively in the middle, or are we relatively cheaper, or a little bit higher?
We're very low. I believe we're 45th in the country.
Why?
For that.
Why?
I would say that we have a very stable environment here, good laws, good regulations, and ensure they're good risks. Wisconsin drivers are good risk. I mean, it will bear out in the data that insurers are using. But I think laws, regulations, the courts are all very stable. Companies look for stability.
I think viewers would be interested in knowing that these insurance companies pay fees. In other words, our viewers do not pay taxes that covers the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, correct?
That's correct.
In fact, when I looked up the Fiscal Bureau summary, the insurance industry is going to contribute to general state spending $189 million.
That's correct.
How's that set? The taxes on the insurance industry, Mr. Affleck?
It's a good question, and it's a little bit different than others. There are premium taxes. Insurers pay premium taxes to the state, and all insurers pay those premium taxes. And as you said, there it's a significant amount of money that goes into the general fund.
So taxpayers do not pay to run your agency.
That is correct.
Insurance companies
That's
do.
That's right.
Is it really a tale of two industries, P&C, property and casualty, and health insurers, or is that too simple?
I'd say, I would go one step farther, it's property and casualty, life companies as well as health companies.
Thank
and so, but what I would say is, while they're very different types of businesses, they're all doing pretty well in the state of Wisconsin. It's a strong industry.
What about PNC, though? Have our companies been getting hit by the natural disasters elsewhere, the California fires, the flooding in the southern parts of the country?
I think that there are insurers that have sustained losses from those various events, catastrophic events. Yes, there have been. But I'd also say, there's a lot more that goes into it. Most insurers have reinsurance for those types of events. So from a financial standpoint, we don't believe that there is any significant financial impairment for companies that are doing that are domiciled here in the state.
Have some of our domiciled companies, PNC companies, pulled out of some of these states that are seeing more of these unfortunate, tragic natural disasters?
I have not heard about that. And I think part of the reason why is once you pull out of a state, it's really difficult to get back into a state. And so that might be part of the reason. But as I said before, insurers usually think about these types of events, that they're going to take place and that they have some type of reinsurance behind that to smooth out the effect, for lack of a better term.
Then how closely tied, if there are any ties, between the insurance industry and this climate change debate? Pretty interwoven in terms of whether the industries need to predict a major increase in natural disasters?
I'm not going to go into the whole climate change issue, but I will say that what insurers normally do is they take a look at modeling that they have. They have predictive modeling for a probable maximum loss for various types of events. And I'll use an example of wildfires. I think a lot of insurers are going to be going back. We've heard this that insurers are going to be going back and taking a look at their predictive modeling on that because they don't think that they're right on it. And that could be because of various things that they haven't seen before and that have not been predicted.
The bottom line is this. Are the premiums paid by Wisconsin residents going to go up because of California wildfires and flooding in the southern states?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. The health insurance industry. Give us an overview, because that's playing out in so many different ways with the changes to the ACA, and it's tied to actions in Congress. Can you talk about with Wisconsin health insurance companies?
Sure. I believe right now that the Wisconsin health insurance industry is very strong.
How do you measure that?
Usually you can measure it in a lot of different ways, but financial strength is one of the ways that you look at it from the standpoint of the solvency standards that The National Association of Insurance Commissioners puts in place, and the Wisconsin Department follows. So we look at the solvency standards for that. We also look at the various markets that segments that they're in and how they're competing there.
Do you think our health insurance companies are as financially as strong as the P&C and life companies?
I would say they're different types of businesses, but they are all financially strong.
What do you think is the greatest challenge facing our health insurers domiciled in Wisconsin?
I would say that making sure that there's predictability, that the changes that have taken place from the federal funding and various other aspects causes unpredictability, and what insurers look for more than anything is some type of stability, some type of consistency, and that's what one of the things that we believe is important.
I had a conversation with former Insurance Commissioner Connie O'Connell, who praised you, by the way, and she said just that the insurance industry in Wisconsin, well, nationally, wants predictability. Now, go a little bit deeper in that. Do they want predictability over 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? When they look for that, what's their window?
It's a good question. I think it will vary from company to company, but the general line is that they are looking for consistency year over year, so that they understand what the laws are, what the playing field looks like.
Are our companies getting any threats? Are they threatened at all from international companies? Are we seeing international insurers, global insurers, mm-hmm. coming into Wisconsin and making any inroads? Or is it pretty much a locally, to use your term, domiciled industry?
I would say that there's very strong competition in the state. A lot of national players who are not domiciled in Wisconsin do business here and compete
yes.
here. International players, there are some international players that are here. One of the, I believe, reasons that a lot of international players who don't have U.S. domestics struggle with this is the state regulatory system. It's not something that they see. Most other countries have it on a national standpoint. So,
well, I find that interesting. What's the most common complaint filed with your agency? Because consumers ought to know that they can seek redress and file complaints with your agency. Maybe the top one or two?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know that off the top of my head, and I'd be happy to get back to you on that.
Okay.
I will just say that we've got a great consumer advocate team who is there to take any type of insurance complaint and work it through the system, a very good complaint process for consumers, and if there are concerns out there, I hope your viewers would call our agency.
And they can file those online by...
You can do it online or you can call in, yes.
Let's go back to health insurance. What percentage of Wisconsin residents have health insurance?
Approximately 94% of Wisconsin residents have health insurance, according to one of the major studies.
Where do we rank nationally?
I believe we are ninth nationally for insured.
The whole debate about expanding Medicaid. Mm-hmm. The governor, in his budget address, said if we take the federal money and expand Medicaid, 82,000 more Wisconsin residents would qualify for Medicaid. Mm-hmm. My question is, do these 82,000 not have health insurance right now, or have very poor health insurance, or through their employers? So who would be getting it if we did expand Medicaid, sir?
So first of all, I'd say that I support the governor's efforts to expand Medicaid, because we do believe that all Wisconsinites deserve coverage and access to care. There is I'll answer your question in a little bit different way. As we look at the health insurance market, there are folks who have coverage, but that coverage doesn't always mean access. because of copays or a lot of other potential obstacles, and that having the Medicaid expanded will provide those folks with more access to coverage.
I think I remember claims by Walker administration officials that every Wisconsin child has health insurance. Is that right, or is my memory failing on that?
I believe that's what they had said.
Okay. Is that is that still the case, do you think?
I believe it is, yes.
Well, the Republicans in the legislature, as you're well aware, leaders have said Medicaid expansion is a non-starter. Mm-hmm. If they're true to their word and it's not part of the state budget, what options might the state have, Commissioner?
I'm going to leave the options to the governor and Secretary Palm, because that's more in their area. I'll say that our focus at OCI is really going to be on the health and well-being of the health insurance market here in Wisconsin. So what can we do to make sure that there's adequate coverage? How are companies adhering to the ACA? Are there adequate, are network adequacy in place for health insurers? Those are the type of things that we're going to be focusing on, and making sure that there's a stable health insurance market.
Does your agency get into the cost of insurance and copays and all that? And I guess my question is, why is Milwaukee consistently rated as one of the highest costs for health insurance in the nation?
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, that we are very concerned at OCI, and I know the governor's very concerned about the affordability of health insurance in Milwaukee and other parts of the state as well. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you look at that, what you're really talking about are the underlying costs to health insurance. And getting at those underlying costs are important. So if you look at the budget, one of the things that Governor Evers' budget had in it was the prescription drug transparency and price review program.
Thanks for bringing that up, because one of my questions is, how would that work in terms of individuals obtaining their drugs?
Right. So I'll say what the program does. The mm-hmm. program is going to require drug companies, PBMs, hospitals, insurers.
PBM, is that pharmacy managers?
Yes, the pharmacy managers. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All to register and provide data to the Department of Insurance, the OCI. And from there, we'll be able to gain greater transparency and accessibility to this information. So I think it's the first step in understanding how this pricing all works. We'll understand how the rebating works between the managers and drug companies. We'll understand what type of prices are out there. So this is the first step in, I think, getting at that issue.
Information is power.
It is.
Once your agency has that, would you have the authority then to step in and, well, let's be blunt, control drug prices?
We do not have that authority. But again, I think it's the first step in being able to understand that. And we'll be sharing that in a report where we're required by statute, if the budget were to go through, or if
yes.
those provisions were to go through, we're required by statute to provide a report annually.
When politicians in Washington talk about Medicare for all, you as a state regulator, what's your reaction? Manageable or just full of thickets and thorns? Just your generic reaction.
Yeah, you know.
Good thing, bad thing?
I'll say, Steve, I'm not going to speculate on what's going to happen on a Medicare for all. But what I'll say is that we've got real, and you've hit on some of these, real problems in the state of Wisconsin, real health insurance problems. And our focus is really going to be on trying to make sure that we can provide a stable, competitive marketplace for consumers here in the state.
Okay, but I bet you can't answer this 10,000-foot question. The ACA.
Yes.
Overall good for America in terms of health coverage?
I'd say overall good, yes.
Why?
I would say because of the pre-existing conditions, access. There are a lot of things in the ACA that I think we can build off of and make this system better.
Well, lessons learned from Wisconsin's decision under the Walker administration to not have our own insurance marketplace. Mm-hmm. Lessons learned, wise decision, wrong decision, sir?
I'm not going to really get into that, Steve. I'm going to say that, again, I'm focused on what is happening in our health insurance system right now. What can we do to improve this? How can we make health insurance more accessible and affordable in the system we're in right now?
You just said we're considering all the options, and I respect that. But mm-hmm. is one of the options potentially recommending that we set up our own marketplace? Is that even on the table?
We haven't discussed that, but it's on. If there is an innovative approach of handling a problem, I'm open to looking at it. But that's not something that we've looked at right now.
I need you to take me to school on the reinsurance issue. It was passed late, prior to the election. $200 million reinsurance plan, and now the governor's budget would continue it. Who pays for it? Who does it help? And why is it so important? The whole reinsurance plan. Take me and our viewers to school.
I'm first going to say that the health insurance reinsurance, the health care reinsurance program, I think is a great example of bipartisan efforts to stabilize a marketplace.
And it, just our state marketplace?
Yeah, just ours right now. I mean, other states have used a reinsurance program, but this is one here where bipartisan support got together to get this through.
Yes.
It's an innovative approach of trying to stabilize a market. How the market is, how the reinsurance program, we believe, will help, because it's so new. We don't have any data, but what we believe will happen is there are going to be payments. So the reinsurance facility is set up. There are payment parameters. So for these really high claims that come in, there are going to be funds available for insurers. And what that does is that helps stabilize it so that they don't have these large swings of losses. And they'll be entitled to, once they submit all of the dollars that have been spent for these types of claims, then it will go into the facility and some of those dollars come back to the insurers. Stabilizing that, hopefully also making premiums lower. That's what the goal of this was to do, help make sure there's better predictability and also a decrease in premiums for that individual and small group market.
Who benefits in the reinsurance plan? Hospitals, nursing homes, community care facilities, all of the above, or who's the primary beneficiary? Excuse me.
I'm going to say the whole system because there are insurers, more insurers we believe will want to do business in the state because of this ability to have some predictability on what's going to happen with this pool of folks.
Well, let's take an example. An older person on Medicaid, critically ill, and her or his bills amount to more than $1 million. Now, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, what you just said is there's going to be a pool of money that the facility providing the care would be able to draw down. Where does that pool of money come from?
First of all, let me clarify. This is
do I have the wrong example? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It would not apply in a Medicaid situation.
Thank you.
It
okay.
would only be in a
private
health,
pay?
Private pay health, individual health, or small group. I believe is how it works.
Okay.
And so, what would happen in those instances if there was a loss that was so the insurer pays the loss or pays
the coverage.
Sometimes I get the P&C terms. Pays the coverage, and then they have this claim that's within the parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
if
it's
a pretty high,
than,
it's more than 50,000.
Thank you.
Between 50,000 and 250,000.
Right.
And then the insurer down the road could receive funds back from this pool. Now the pool of money comes from partially from the state. I believe the state has $73 million into the $200 million pot, and then the rest is from the federal government.
And where does it, does the state come up with the $73 million from Medicaid savings, or do I have the wrong source of that money? Is it GPR money?
It's GPR money.
It's GPR money.
Yes, it is.
And the governor's budget would recommend this reinsurance plan for ever and ever?
The plan, this is from a federal, what's known as a 1332 waiver, so it's a five-year program.
Five-year program.
That's correct.
And it just started, so we don't know the real results here?
We have not. No, we do not. We are going to get our first set of data from insurers in May, and there won't be any payments on this until next year.
Oh, is there any major changes in the governor's budget regarding the insurance industry other than recommending the expansion of MA? Mr. Fava?
I would say the only other major is one that we've touched on already is on the prescription drug program that we will be administering.
And do you think if enacted by the legislature, that would really lower prescription drug costs at the pharmacy that you and I pay?
I think it's the first step in that, that transparency, what you said before, the knowledge is power, people understanding how this process works, giving them options on where they should be looking.
Okay. We're almost out of time. Two more questions. Yeah. If you were testifying before Congress and a senator asked you, well, Mr. Wisconsin Insurance Commissioner, what changes would you recommend in healthcare nationally, broader than Wisconsin, how would you answer?
Well, Steve, fortunately, I'm not in that position right now, and I would just say, again, my focus is really on the Wisconsin health insurance marketplace, and that's where my efforts are, learning to understand this marketplace and what we can do to solve the problems that are facing us.
I respect that answer, but is there any one part of the Wisconsin insurance industry that might pose the biggest challenge for your agency and for Wisconsin consumers over the next 2 to 3 years? Anything wake you up nights?
Oh, I would say all parts of the industry I'm concerned with, all sectors, life, health, all of them. So I don't know if I could just pick one.
Okay. You started work on January 7. Conceivably, you might have a four-year term. What are your benchmarks for having a successful first term, Mr. Fomley?
Actually, I started on the 22nd. I started a little bit later than
everybody.
Thanks
for the correction.
Yeah. I would say success for me it would be really being able to fulfill the mission that that I see for the division, and that's protecting consumers, educating consumers on the insurance and insurance products. You know, there are a lot of outreach programs, there are a lot of things we can do to really educate people about what insurance is. And then at the same time, sustain this really competitive marketplace. Those are how I would define success. Those are the things that I think are important.
Well, and just one final question. You alluded to the changes in technology. Mm-hmm. One way this has shown up is if I had a damage claim, I would now call a 1-800 number where I used to call my local insurance agent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good change?
I think consumers are going to answer that question. Consumers are going to make the decisions on how they want to deal with their insurance company and how they want their services to be provided. And I think that's what insurance companies will be moving to, whatever they want. A lot of people who still love to call their agent and have that great relationship with their agent, and that's a great way to go. But there are going to be others.
Are there going to be agents available? Or is everybody going to be told, get on the, dial the 1-800 to your claims
I think there are going
office?
To be agents. I believe agents serve a very important role in the insurance industry, and there are a lot of people who will look for that type of advice, and particularly when you're talking about not only in the personal lines that we're talking about here, but also in the commercial space, and in life and health as well.
Well, okay, the bottom line, we have a very healthy insurance industry in Wisconsin. Did you say our rates are 45th lowest?
For auto, I believe that's
for
correct.
Auto.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got a pretty interesting job. And
I do.
You're seeking that predictability for the next few years in a major industry. And we write how many billions in premiums?
$16 billion in the state of Wisconsin.
That's
right?
A lot of zeros.
That is.
Marco Fable, Wisconsin Insurance Commissioner. Thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye now.